If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tasteofchicago.com to order today.
So you're wondering, how old really is Paul Lisnick? He's so old that when he was a kid, the Dead Sea wasn't feeling well. How's that?
How long have you been holding on to that one?
He is my old friend, Paul Lisnick.
This is the man who knew there were originally 15 commandments, and then when five broke, you preserved the other 10.
That's a Mel Brooks joke. He's stealing from the best, I will say that.
Hey, exactly. That went right in my head. Was that great line, yeah?
There's not much in your head, but you are the political analyst at Channel 9 Television. And boy, oh boy, I mean, your job security, it's all yours. Because local,
well, national... for 4 years. And by the way, can we also, if you don't mind, mention the podcast on WGNRadio.com, which is Behind the Curtain, where I cover a lot of, you know, entertainment theater people. It's another side of me, Steve. You know that side.
Yes, I do know that side. So it is a very generous side, I must say, and very much supportive of the arts in Chicago. And Paul Lisnick talks about theater as no one can. It's called Behind the Curtain or May the Curtain Fall on Me. And you could find it among the podcasts. Just go to WGNRadio.com. There's a tab that says podcast. And there you can find Paul's podcast. You could find my petcast, which is going deep, all about pets, your dogs and cats,
right,
at home. But we are here,
right,
to talk about politics. And what I was saying when you...
political role.
When you interrupted me, now twice, when you interrupted me, when you... And friends, if you don't know, we are very good friends, Paul and myself, so we do kid.
Because you were my babysitter as I was growing up, which I always appreciated your service during my young years, and you were a graduate student.
You know, we're running out of time here, Paul. The whole show's going to be over. So this was an exciting year, and what I was saying is job security for you, because so much has happened. What is the biggest story for you locally? I think it might have been one that just occurred with the mayor.
Well, yes, so we're going local. So we're talking Chicago, we're talking city council and mayor. And yes, I think, Steve, what you have in mind is this notion of the budget we went through. That would be right. But I think you want to put the discussion of the budget as one of the big local stories of the year. But I think let's put it in context, which is to really talk about the relationship of this current mayor with city council. And then these pieces all fall as part of it, such as the budget. But of course, other things, ShotSpotter, other things that have been going on during the course of this year. You know, Mayor Johnson has had a tough time of it with the city council. And one of the things that I think is really interesting, and I know you monitor this as well, is that, you know, the design of the city of Chicago is weak mayor, strong city council. But I don't think we've had that since maybe before the time of Richard J. Daley back in the 50s. It's always been a strong mayor. Even Rahm Emanuel, who was not liked really by the city council, but they respected him and he got his stuff done. Lori Lightfoot came in, boom, got her stuff done. Mayor Brandon Johnson seems to be sort of having to deal with a pushback from this city council like no earlier mayor in recent times has dealt with before. So the story is the budget, and in the end, the mayor will take a bow for the accomplishment of a budget. The bottom line is this budget you have, if left to the mayor's drawings, would have had a $300 million property tax. It was city council who stood up and said, that's not happening. And now we get a very different budget. And obviously, the mayor gets credit for having a budget. But this city council, man, they're showing it's got a spine.
Yeah, but you said the mayor's having a tough time with the city council. If you were to ask council members, I'd say that many of them would say we're having a tough time with the mayor.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. But isn't that where the conflict comes in? You know, the bottom line is the mayor, you know, mayors, sometimes you'll see a vote like the budget vote. It gets postponed, right? And or different things got postponed for a couple of days here and there. And that's so the mayor can do things behind the scenes, offer an alderman something, do something to try and line those votes up. That's what mayors do in terms of playing politics. But you are right. Here we have a mayor who's saying, I've got a difficult city council to work with. But, you know, the city council has one guy they've got to address. And when they don't have their own unity, you know, 26 is the magic number on city council, 26 of 50 votes gets you what you want. And so when they can put together a group of 26 people, they can pretty much stand up to anything the mayor wants. So all I'm suggesting is that I think going into 2025, this mayor has, and I put the burden on him, it's shared with city council, I suppose, but there needs to be a rebuilding of trust. And that was my point about mentioning Rahm Emanuel and Lori Lightfoot. There may have been like or dislike at various times, but there was an element of trust and strength that went with the mayor and from the mayor. And I think this time around, I think this mayor has lost a lot of trust in a lot of members of city council. Now, if the mayor's listening in right now, my message would be that's not undoable. That's rebuildable. And while, you know, you could respond by saying it's, as you said, maybe it's the city council's fault. Bottom line is it's the mayor's city council. He's got to find a way to work with them and put his votes together. I'll put the development, the necessary development of trust, start it with the mayor and how he interacts with city council members in at times we never see, Steve, behind the scenes, in the office, that kind of thing.
All right, so how about this? Steve Dale back at WGN, in for Lisa Dent. How about this one? He's so old, when he orders a two-minute egg, they ask for his money in advance. How about that one?
What, did you get one of Henning Youngman's joke books or something?
No, no. Here he is, Paul Lisnick. Paul Lisnick is the political analyst at WGN TV, Channel 9. We've been talking about local politics. I want to keep it local for a moment here and talk about the Board of Education. Not a surprise as to what happened, but first off, he's fired. I'm talking about the what's his title at the Board of Education?
Pedro Martinez.
Yeah. Who's the head of the Board of Education? The director?
Right.
Is that it? The executive director of the board?
Superintendent, because that's separate from the president of the board.
Okay, so superintendent, Pedro Martinez, all expected for months and months and months, right? It finally happens, but they let him go without cause, which sounds strange to me. And then does that open up a possibility when the new board comes in, which is partially elected, that they could say, Mr. Martinez, you've sued us. You might be right. Come back. Get your job back. Is that possible?
Yeah, and I'm sure this conversation will take us through our 6 p.m. hour as well. But we won't be on the air, but we'll be talking. Anyway,
okay.
So it's really interesting. He was smart to do a revision to his contract in, I think, 2022. And in that contract, provision says, if I get fired without cause, so he suspected this could be coming.
Mm-hmm.
If I get fired without cause, I get 180 days to continue my job and do my job for that period of time. Now, of course, what's also come out in the last, you know, period of week, 2 weeks perhaps, is these emails that have come to light where Brandon Johnson had said something in an email where he sort of said, well, you know, he'll be gone by September, I think 27, something like that. So the plan was Martinez out. But with this, and I don't know whether Johnson knew of this provision in the contract or thought it wouldn't matter, thought he could get around it, I don't know. But the bottom line is, that's gone to court. And the court at this stage has stepped in and basically looked and said, yeah, he gets to do his job. And so when they fired him, they brought these new appointed members of the Board of Education, the one that Mayor Johnson appointed, who all unanimously then fired Martinez. And now they're going to be part of contract negotiations. Johnson and Martinez, you can't do that. And a court stood behind him on that. So the bottom line is, 180 days from now, you're pretty much to the end of the school year. This contract has to be done. I'm not so sure what this effort to fire Martinez would have or has or will accomplish when he apparently has the legal right to continue doing his job. Now, do they try and get him out in some other way? We'll buy you out, whatever. You know, Martinez does not seem to be interested in taking money, or he had other opportunities. He was actually offered a chance. They were going to buy him out. He said no. He wants to be the superintendent. He wants to do his job. He wants to work on this deal. And I don't see, and I'm speaking as the lawyer now, right now, not really the political guy, but I don't see any way you can get around the contract he has with that board.
Is there any way that the new board coming in, which is very soon, can say, all right, we made a mistake. You can keep your job even longer?
Well, look at it this way. You know, there were certain people, Louis DeJoy, who runs the post office, the postmaster, right? He was given, I think, a 10-year term. When Biden comes in, he wants to get rid of him. DeJoy goes, I'm not going anywhere. And that was the end of it with Biden. On the other hand, look what Trump's doing. I know I'm taking it national, but, you know, you have the director of the FBI, who says, I get a 10-year term, I'm not going anywhere. Trump says, well, meanwhile, I'm appointing your replacement, so get ready, you're about to be fired. And out he goes and just decides he's going to take himself out. So part of it has to do, perhaps, Mayor Johnson is thinking of he will step up to being a strong leader and one way or another make this happen. But once again, there's a contract provision here that I'm pretty sure courts of law will uphold. So I think Martinez ultimately wins on the battle of sticking through this negotiation and through this deal. When you say the new board comes in, remember, it's only half. I mean, it's the new board appointed by Johnson, but we don't get the full new board for another 2 years in 2027. That's when things are really different and the people have selected the Board of Education. Then we'll be having a different conversation. But right now, this mayor continues, with the appointment of the president of the board, continues, I think, to exercise notable influence, if not control, over the board.
Lawsuits will happen. They're happening right now. I asked your friend, former Alderman Dick Simpson, about it. I said, who pays for these lawsuits? He said, well, yes, Johnson loses in this battle. The board loses, and certainly Martinez ultimately may lose in this battle. But it's really the Chicago taxpayers, because the taxpayers are going to have to pay for all of this in a city that right now is spending money in some ways in all the wrong places anyway.
Never question Dick Simpson, because he's right, and he's got the years of experience to prove it. Yeah, these legal bills are being paid for by us. And so while the city council in this budget was trying to find a way to save a million here and save a million there, and hey, that snowplow program for seniors may not be able to fund that now, right? But meanwhile, the lawsuits keep going, the money, the bills keep racking up, and these things have to be paid. So you're absolutely right as far as the cost of pursuing this effort, even though it may end up with Martinez ultimately keeping the job for the next 6 months, which is what he's entitled to. We're the taxpayers.
Okay, so what is, we have less than a minute here, what is the biggest national story, because there were many, political story of the year 2024?
So with a minute, clearly it's the election, right? The presidential election where, you know, things just went in some ways, some unexpected for some, expected for others. But I'm going to put a real quick pin on just another issue. I think that watching the media and the role of the media, both during the election and going forward, is going to be something to watch. It was stunning for me to see ABC News pay $15 million to incoming President Trump for the George Stephanopoulos comment that he made on his show. I can only tell you that ultimately, ABC probably would have won that lawsuit. There is a law that says New York Times versus Sullivan, the media can't be held responsible unless they use actual malice, which probably would be very, it is very difficult to prove. I think that both a huge media, the downing of the media during this past year and where it goes in the year to come is going to really be something to watch. Very dangerous, I think, for media, and they're very nervous about it.
Something to watch is Paul Lisnick. When are you on television, Paul?
Hey, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. for WGN-TV Political Report. Thank you for that. And 24/7 on the podcast on WGNRadio.com called Behind the Curtain. How do you like double plug?
I love it when you double plug. There he goes, Paul Lisnick. Always good to talk to you. Thank you. Happy New Year.